The cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was a guard, but the cat came back.
Welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 243, and I am Kevin.
I think I'm still Simon, but I could be wrong.
I know I'm Daniel.
And I'm Doug.
No, you're not Doug. Where's my beard? You're not Doug. You're Doug's clone.
It's my COVID anti-beard.
You know what? I think you're a tester for the 3M masks. That's why you shaved off your beard.
He's bucking the trend.
I think he donated the beard to me.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, what have you guys been up to? Anything exciting? Since you can't go anywhere?
Watching a lot of movies.
Yeah. I went back to work today. Yay me.
I thought they weren't going to let you back.
No, I found out yesterday at 3 o'clock, and I started at 3 a.m. this morning.
Nice.
So I have had a little nap. I'm all excited. I'm ready to discuss our first film since we have nothing else to get into because nothing's going on in the world. I'm glad to see they released some stuff on VOD so we can catch up.
Right.
So our first film this week, guys, and we're back on Zoom so everybody can see us on YouTube. Yay. Bloodshot.
So Bloodshot.
Vin Diesel, Guy Pearce, Isa Gonzalez, Sam Heughan, Toby Kebbell, Lamorne Morris, and Alex Hernandez.
Like, who are these people besides Vin Diesel?
And you know Guy Pearce.
Yeah, Guy Pearce.
Lamorne Morris, he was on New Girl.
You know, this is the kind of film I need the director commentary to explain it to me, because I didn't understand any of this. Literally, this film makes no sense. Vin Diesel gets involved, so they have to make it. I get that part. They wander around. They don't really give me a good backstory. They kind of touch on things and a weird flashback oriented. And then Vin Diesel goes nuts, kills everybody, and doesn't follow protocol. Is that really about it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Now, I just need for that chunk in the middle for a director to go, this is what we're going for.
Well, you know it's based on a comic.
I do. I've read them all. I like them.
And I don't think the comic character had much backstory.
Zero. Nothing.
Yeah. He just basically wakes up in the lab one day, and he's got these nanites in his blood, and he's like a blank slate.
Correct.
And so they build on that in this and say that he has a backstory, but his memories are programmed. So Guy Pearce's team have been programming these memories into him of this guy killing his wife.
Yes.
And so every target that they want him to murder, they program that person in as the person that killed his wife.
I'm glad understood that, because I'm so bored, I just don't care.
So would you say that Guy Pearce is kind of mementoing Vin Diesel in this movie by sending him after targets?
He's every wakes up and starts over with the same memories, and he goes through the same routine.
Yeah, pretty much 50 First Dates, right? But the comic book action movie version of it.
Kind of, yeah. Actually, it reminded me a lot of a 90s superhero action movie, which is barely the superhero, guys with guns and a little tech.
So, do you think we're going to see more Valiant movies? Is that all we have to say about this? Doug obviously didn't see it because he hasn't said anything.
No, I saw it.
And?
It was awful. It was absolutely horrendous. I think the best moment was my kid's reaction to Vin Diesel reacting to watching a woman swim underwater, going, "That's the most incredible thing I've ever seen." What the hell? Yeah. It was horrid. This was just a bad movie from start to finish.
Yeah.
I'll play devil's advocate. I didn't think it was as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yes, it was.
I think it knew it was a bad movie, though.
No.
So they played to it, and then when they started doing the 50 First Dates thing, stop nodding your head. They started like commenting on the script, and I thought that was kind of okay. Vin Diesel didn't get the memo though that this was a bad movie, and he plays it too seriously. So I don't think it works, but it's not as awful as I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was as awful as I thought it would. The action just didn't have the oomph that action movies need to have nowadays.
Right.
In a time of, you know, John Wick action films, there was nothing in this movie that I think would rival anything from John Wick.
Oh, no. But it's not trying to be John Wick. I don't know. Because Vin Diesel will never have a vehicle like that, right? I don't know.
Is it trying to be Triple X Part 4?
No. Not as good as Triple X.
And it's not as good even as Witch Hunter.
Actually, the one action scene I didn't mind was the falling down the elevator shaft sequence. With the robot arms. I thought that was okay. And the final nanite scene where he's being blown apart and the nanites keep coming back in. That was a cool visual, but the film itself didn't deliver.
That scene at the end made zero sense to me because they had that readout that said his nanite level was down to 2.
Yeah.
Does that mean he had 2 nanites or 2% or
2%.
What? Because there was a whole cloud of nanites around him fixing him while the readout said he was down to 2. That made zero sense to me. I didn't understand how any of that worked.
Right, and they say he's dead, but he's not. So clearly that guy was an idiot.
Yes.
Tech person goes an idiot, so.
Oh, I don't know, I guess it was, I'm trying to make sense of it, but I guess the nanite version of him is gone, then he was just human. I don't know. I didn't like the villain, though. Like, Dalton, when he, like the blind guy, when he just let him fall, he's like, hey, I told you to hang on. Right. And that was stupid.
I just felt this was a bad Bender night for me, and I watched something in the morning, and I have no recollection of it.
I had to do it over 2 parts because I fell asleep during the first hour. I woke up the next morning, and then I finished it. So I'm glad it was VOD on that regard. But
and I think it gave us 48 hours to watch it. And knowing me, I think I watched it the first. I just sat down and watched it and forgot right all about it because I don't remember anything other than not understanding it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I just love watching Vin Diesel attempting to act. I think that's my favorite part because I think he can actually act, but I think his role choices are terrible.
Actually, the one scene I liked of him was when he confronts his wife who he thinks is dead, and she's like, what are you talking about? We settled this years ago. We broke up and we went our own. He's like, no, you were murdered. And I'm glad to see you're doing okay. He's like, I'm not dead. What are you talking? Clearly I'm alive and I'm okay. Get out of my hair, you crazy psychotic person.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That was about it.
Yeah. I also liked, Toby Kebbell's dancing, like the dancing scene. And then they commented it on it later. Like, oh, we have all the action movie cliches, the bad guy dancing. Mm-hmm. I thought, it was cringy, but I thought the comment on it was funny.
Nothing beats Dexter dancing in that gamer movie. He has the win for dancing. It's the gamer dance.
Forgot about that movie.
Oh, it's a forgettable movie. Gerard Butler's in it, being Gerard Butler. Discussing Gerard Butler. Talking like he thinks he's Gerard Butler.
I love meta. But it's meta, meta, meta.
So, hopefully in the future, which I'm sure there'll be, might be a volume 2 knowing Vin Diesel, maybe it can go onward and upward.
See, I was going to say the same thing almost. Onward, starring Tom Holland, Chris Pratt, Octavia Spencer, Julia Louise Dreyfus, Mal Rodriguez, Lena Waithe, Ali Wong, and Gray Griffin.
Again, who wants to start? Daniel, Kevin?
You go ahead.
I'll speak quickly. This is a film that I love Greg Griffin, so, and she does a great job, and I'm gonna give her full credit again if she ever watches this. Good work, as always. I felt this film was lacking the whole time I watched it. Lacking something. I couldn't buy it. I just felt like it was a big, long, animated TV show. Like, it didn't feel like a Pixar movie. I felt it was missing those Pixar moments I want. Okay, maybe they gave it to the end. I'm going to ruin, oh yeah, by the way, people, we spoil things on here. At the very end, when they see the dad and they get to see the full version of the dad and the one kid doesn't get to talk to his dad, I'm like, oh, is that supposed to be the Pixar cry moment? Am I supposed to cheer up? I thought that was kind of rude. I mean, the one kid really wants to meet dad. And they kind of gypsed him on that. I was pretty pissed. That's the one thing that upset me. I thought the Manticore character was so underutilized, pissed me off. Because I thought she had the best lines in the movie. I thought she was the most interest. And I'd rather have a team-up show with her and the mom than watch these other two clowns. Chris Pratt was driving me nuts, just making bad choices over and over again. I know the character does that, but I didn't find him interesting. And I found the other guy learning his stuff, again, not interesting. I felt they kept doing the same thing. Oh, you got to use the card to learn this. You got to use the card. I'm like, am I watching an episode of Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh? And they're trying to get more powers? I found this film just lacked basic Pixar things, interest for me. I'm not saying it was terrible. I'm just saying I thought overall the plot was lacking. It seemed more like a Disney hour and a half after school special. And they jits at one kid. And again, I like the sprites. I like the world. I think it looked really well when they spin this off to a 22-minute cartoon. I think it'll be perfect. But I don't want to see a sequel. I don't want to revisit this. I'm done. But it's not as bad as Cars 2. That's all I have to say.
I don't feel like they jitsed him just because he realizes that his brother was basically his father figure. And
well,
his brother never, Bailey never got, was never able to say goodbye to his dad. So
hold
that's
on
why
a second.
That happens.
Doug?
Yes?
So you have kids, I have kids. So I think you're related to more what I'm saying. Let's say it happened, for some reason you get faded off into another dimension. Okay? So you're one kid, you have two kids, right? And one kid, let's say you have a third kid, never met you. Okay? Before you go. So you come back at the end of, you know, the day you get to spend with your kids, because you've done this, just in case something happens to me, I can't come back, I'll come back for a day. Wouldn't you want to meet your third kid?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, don't you feel that kid would have been pissed I never got to meet dad? Because the other two kids would talk about you all the time.
But I do get where Daniel's coming from. The movie did build up the fact that I don't even remember the characters' names, but Tom Holland
had to realize
that his brother was his father figure who was there for him the whole time. It just felt kind of mid-level Pixar to me. It looked incredibly gorgeous. I mean,
agreed.
The water at the end, when they're in the tunnel, that whole thing just looked incredible. But the story, I felt, was just mid-level, nothing spectacular.
I love this film. I felt the Disney magic. I liked the brother's story. I cried. I laughed. Okay, why are you doing that, man? I'm just saying I love the movie.
I didn't say you didn't.
Well, your eyes say that you're annoyed. It's kind of annoying.
Oh, I am annoyed. No, that will get to you. Keep going.
No, I love the movie. I love the voice acting. I thought it was solid. It's a standard adventure, but I felt the brother story. It's as much a movie about the brothers as the dad and the sons.
Hold on.
I really like that aspect.
I'm going to ask you a question then.
Okay.
Do you feel this is like the bond between you and your brother?
Well, yeah, I felt that. I thought of that during when I saw it in theaters, yeah.
Okay. Kevin, your turn.
So, premise-wise, it reminded me of Zootopia a lot. It was that kind of world-building.
You're right.
And it was like, okay, so what if we took our society, and then we built a society using something else? So we had a world where we had zoo characters, and they built an Earth like ours. What would their Earth be like? So what if we took magic characters and put them into something where they then developed a society like ours? What would their society be like? And, oh my God, this goddamn cat. I've been fighting this cat to get it out of my space, and it somehow has gotten in again.
Maybe the cat is the dad from Onward. He's trying to tell you something.
But is he only half?
What's that?
Which half does he have? His bottom half? The cat has the bottom half?
The butt. I think it's the front half.
Okay.
The annoying half. They're both. Anyway, Jesus Christ. Sorry. The thing goes and hits my thing constantly. It's very distracting. I thought the film was okay. In fact, I was ready to hate it because I didn't like the premise. And they grew on me. I had no problem with Chris Pratt's character. No problem with Tom Holland's naivety, and it played well here, I thought. And sorry, I'm going to get into a fight with the cat here. But I thought overall, I thought it was good. I thought it did touch my heart a little bit in the sequence where the father was coming together and the younger brother could just sort of see it and then was kind of denied. But he didn't know the father. He had no relationship with him. He was a voice on a tape, a face on a picture. While the relationship with him and the older brother existed, the older brother knew the father well enough. So.
But again, the little kid, they put that right at the beginning. He wants to meet the dad.
Yeah.
And that's my big issue with the film, that they pounded that into me from the beginning of the film. Pounded, pounded, pounded. And it didn't happen. So, am I wrong here thinking what I think?
No, but I just think he accepts that, okay, like, it's inevitable that he can't meet him because he's covered with all this stuff. I don't know.
Well, I guess if they have a sequel, I think he will get to meet the dad.
With the father.
So you think that'll be done, and it'll be something to do with the sprites or another quest or something?
Right. And it's a core. Because I do agree that she was good.
She was the best. She had the best. Those scenes when she goes nuts on the karaoke people.
Yeah. And especially on the magical mascot.
Yes.
And he's just doing the mimicking in the background.
Yes. It was great.
Yeah.
Like, I want a whole show of her restaurant. I think there's a definite cartoon there.
Yeah, I think so. And I thought it was clever how they go through the back of the woods, and then on the other side it's just the street, like a main street. I thought that was interesting how it brought the old world into the new world.
So I'll tell us, Doug. Doug, your kids, did they want to see more of this?
No, they were good with what they got. It was, like I said, everybody in the house kind of thought it was mid-level. It wasn't any of our favorite Pixar films, but... It was a good way to spend a couple hours.
Okay. See, so we're all about the same, I think. We all enjoy parts of it. Daniel really liked it.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Okay.
On to the next level.
You beat me to it, yes.
Yeah. Jumanji, the next level, starring Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart, Karen Gillan, Jack Black, Danny DeVito, Danny Glover, Awkwafina, Nick Jonas, and Rory McCann. There's more people, but... not enough time.
But before we go, my segue was going to be, hey, Kevin, does your cat want to play Jumanji?
Okay, that's pretty good.
That too. Was going to be my segue, but what you have?
Go into the game?
Yeah, there you go.
Alone? Yes.
Kevin, you saw this most recently. Why don't you take it?
All right, well, I mean, I didn't mind the first film, so I kind of was looking forward to the second one. Basically, four teenagers are getting sucked into a video game version of the famous film with Robin Williams, and in this case the twist is that Danny DeVito and Danny Glover are in the house around the same time that the sucking into the game part goes in, and so they kind of mix up the characters a little bit. So some of the characters, like Danny DeVito, is the rock character, Bravestone, and Danny DeVito is the Kevin, what's the
Kevin
guy?
Hart.
Glover is the
Kevin Hart player. And then the one cheerleader girl, she ends up going in. She shows up as a horse later on. And you know, Awkwafina is in as a new character. She's a thief character that that one of the teens plays. And
Alex Wolff is doing that one.
And then they discover in the middle of the game that there's an opportunity to switch. You could, if you dive into a pool, the characters can switch. So you can move into a different character body, and so at some point Danny DeVito ends up in the body of Awkwafina.
Yes.
And she plays the best Danny DeVito ever. But I think that, you know, even though DeVito and Glover are only in certain parts, they do such a great job impersonating them, and they have so much fun with it, that I think that kind of adds to my enjoyment of the film. So overall, I mean, I thought the villain was lame, the guy from Game of Thrones, the Hound.
Yeah. Rory McCann.
I don't think he was great as the villain.
But he's not great on Game of Thrones.
No, he was okay as the Hound.
I think he's a solid actor, but I think he's going to be a supporter forever.
And he's in full Hot Fuzz, too. He's a yarp.
Is that the guy with all the bombs in the garage?
No, he was the tall one. The one that, when Simon Pegg throws the plant at him and he's, or the toy at him and he's like, ooh.
I do not remember.
Fair.
So, Doug, you want to go next?
I haven't had a chance to see this one yet, so.
Okay. Doug's out.
I might as well go. See, I liked the villain just not because he was great, but because I thought the first movie, I thought Welcome to the Jungle ruined Van Pelt, and I thought this one was better because I didn't have no attachment to him. I liked the first movie better. I liked the parts of the teenagers. It was kind of same kind of standard, and I enjoyed this movie, but I think it found its groove when they went into the pool and they went to their regular characters, and Awkwafina was doing Danny DeVito. Mm-hmm. That's when it peaked for me. Before, it was kind of awkward. I think Dwayne Johnson plays that role, like, better. But, I mean, it's interesting them trying to, like, Dwayne Johnson trying to do DeVito, Kevin Hart trying to do Glover. But I kind of just wanted the dynamics of the first movie. And then when I got that after they went in the pool, I liked it more.
Parts of this film I thought were okay. I mean, I thought it was better developed. I thought the action CGI looked better. I thought they put a little bit more money into setting up the world. I had a lot of problems with the dialogue from DeVito and the thing over Friends. I'm like, oh God, I just don't care. I thought that was a little lame. I like when they get to the world. I always enjoy the role playing on the world. I enjoy, but it's always getting to the world that bugs me. They don't seem to have a segue that I like that works for me. I'm sure they'll get there. I mean, we know there's going to be a third film. I'm not even going to say there isn't. I mean, I think you guys have touched on everything. I mean, I enjoy the characters. I just need a little bit more rich storyline for me, but it's getting there.
We have to be nice about this one because I know the intern's seen it, like, what, six times?
Six times in theaters, yes.
Not making fun of them or anything, but, you know, we have to be a bit nice, you know?
No, I don't. Have to be nice to anybody.
No, I don't know.
So to bring it to Fast and Furious, who had the better movie, Vin Diesel or Dwayne Johnson?
Oh, Dwayne Johnson for sure. Jumanji is way better than Bloodshot. Bloodshot, I'll be shocked if it's not on my top 10 worst.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Well, we're not going to get half the movies we're supposed to this year. So right now, what's going to win the Oscar for me? I have no Onward's probably leading the cast.
Invisible Man?
Oh, Invisible Man's number one. Yes, you're right. That's it. Your Oscar goes to. Well, it won't be a film that's not on this list, but we'll get to that on the next episode.
Yeah. They're gonna give them the award, and then no one's going to come up on stage because they're invisible.
Maybe they'll just sing it in a song of names.
Ooh. I was trying to think of one for that one. I like it. Starring Tim Roth, Clive Owen, Catherine McCormick, Saul Rubinek, Eddie Izzard for the really 1 minute.
Before we go on, people watching this video, I'm sending Kevin's cat a bag of cat drinks because he's the best.
It's peak comedy.
No, it's not. No, I don't know where it is. So I'm like, okay, all right. It's having something to eat, so it's...
What is the effing point of a song? Did you watch Song of Names, Doug, before I started?
I did not.
Oh, Doug was too busy. So Doug's actually got to work, I know. What was the point of this film, Kevin? This film is 2 hours of a guy looking for his buddy.
And he's looking for his family, too.
Oh, my God. I had a nap during this about 14 times. There it is. I'm like, Clive Owen, okay, it's got Tim Roth, who I love Tim Roth, can do no wrong. Now he's not bad in the film. I'm just bored. Okay. Absolutely bored out of my skull watching this. I'm like, it's like Tim Roth does something, talks, I'm like, I don't care.
Well, I mean, I know you don't have a soul, so it's
no,
all right.
I don't. It's been burned out years ago watching bad film. Okay, Kevin, tell you what I'm missing. I hated this film. I never wanted to see it again or talk about it. You tell me.
I can't see myself wanting to watch this movie again either. But that being said, I did find it fascinating to a certain point. So essentially during the – God, the cat is back. during World War II, just before World War II, a Polish boy is sent to live with an English family, and he's a virtuoso violinist. And so he lives with the English family and practices with the Tim Roth character as a child. So they form a bond. They're almost like brothers. And he's a virtuoso. He's definitely getting better and better. And at some point, the father has set up a concert for the boy to play, and he doesn't show up. and he disappears. They don't know whatever happened to him. He's 21 at the time. And so that's the mystery. So Tim Roth is now an adult. He's in his 50s, 35 years later. And he hears another kid playing in the north of England. And there's something about his style that he, I know you're on nice faces, that he recognizes. And so he starts tracking him down. It's like almost like a detective story. And I liked it. I thought it was an interesting what happened to the guy that he just disappeared. Because he's trying to pick up the trail of someone who disappeared 35 years ago and doesn't want to be found.
Because he wipes down the baton the way that he did as a kid, good luck. Sorry, were you done with your points?
Pretty much, and that's where we stand. So until you meet the Clive Owen character, and then that relationship is rekindled, and because he owes them a concert, he gives them a concert.
Yeah, I'm with Simon on this one. I know myself. I know what I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. And I thought this would be maybe a 5 out of 10, but I hated it. I was never interested for a minute. Mm-hmm. I think my vague interest was knowing that Clive Owen was playing the adult David. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And even he couldn't lift this up for me. And I know why it's called A Song of Names, because they have the names of the Jewish families that have been killed. I thought it was just cruel when they made him sing through that song to learn if his family was dead or not. And I know it's a cultural thing, but I just had no interest in him looking for his family.
They had nothing to write on, so they had to memorize the names, and they memorized them to music.
Okay.
Right?
But why couldn't they just talk and tell them it from just reading it?
Well, the thing is, right, when he found them, they had written it down.
Okay.
So they did. They could have just pulled out and said, oh, you see where we wrote down in the Song of Names? Yes, they're dead. That could have been it. But instead, they made him learn it. And so he plays it to the audience at the big concert, right? He plays, doesn't sing the song. Oh. He plays the music in his concert. And at the end, he talks about what he learned from the experience was that he's no longer an individual. Like, being on stage and performing in front of an audience made him an individual again. And he had basically decided, after learning about the death of his family, to devote himself to the community and to his religion.
That is correct.
So. So I don't know. I didn't hate it like you guys did, obviously. I found it was a slower moving film, and I thought it was much more reminiscent of an earlier age of filmmaking without fast edits and trying to make a point in the long run. But
I think it just assumes that you like the characters, and I didn't. And I was like, you know what? I don't care. Right. And he seemed like a dick. Kind of like, okay, I'll run away to find my family, even though you guys are my family. And then I'll run away again. He's like, oh, took you long enough to find me.
Yes, like he does say that.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so you knew he was coming, but could have helped him.
He didn't know when. But I mean, maybe Tim Roth didn't care for a number of years because we just sort of dawned to him, maybe I should get this done.
I guess because he doesn't have Facebook, because it's in the 80s. He doesn't have Facebook to look it up.
Well, that's what they're going to have to do with a lot of films, put them in the 80s so social media doesn't exist. Okay. Well, I think we've hooked up on that one.
Sorry.
Let's try it.
No, yeah. Oh, sorry. My
it really worked if we're ready to pick up on the segue. It's really.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, my mind was split. I was looking at the time. Hooking
you
up.
Were seeing
starring
a thing of names in your head, I guess, right?
Yes. Starring Brittany Snow, Sam Richardson, Anna Akana, Jordana Brewster, and Vivica A. Fox.
True. Doug, did you see Hooking Up? No, right?
I did not, no.
Doug's way too busy, dude. Like, you know, shaving off his beard. That was like a 3-day ordeal, so he skipped a lot of films.
Exactly.
Hooking Up. I expected more from this. Like, I really thought Brittany Snow usually does an okay performance. She's never overpowering, never great, but always solid. What a boring film. I mean, I thought, okay, it's going to be a sex comedy because, you know, it's about hooking up and reliving Brittany Snow because she's a sex addict. We're going to go all these places and have sex and there might be some comedy. Nope. No comedy. Oh, even the toilet scene wasn't that good. So, and then it goes from there to this guy that's got testicular cancer and only has one ball, real ball, and one fake ball, yes, and the movie becomes about him. I'm like, oh, God, really? And could they ugly up Britney Snow some more? Like, what, didn't even have eye candy to look at. I was really pissed. I found his girlfriend completely boring.
Yeah.
The Chinese woman, I'm sorry, I cannot remember her name, but I've seen
Anna Kana.
Useless. Just needs to go right now. I've had enough of her. She should just go do some of those Netflix movies I never watched. They advertise. She can just stay on there. I'll never have to see her again. And who is the other fellow, the other male lead? His name?
Sam Richardson. He was in Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Yeah, well, he needs an acting lesson. Because he is terrible.
No, Sam Richardson's awesome.
Well, maybe it's
just... Yeah, it's the writing here.
Oh, Doug, I need a second. This movie, like, I thought Song and Age was boring. This looked like a fun comedy. I think that's why Kevin picked it, which is fine. But there's the comedy is left somewhere.
I'm backing off this. I didn't pick it. You just told me to watch this.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I apologize. You had Britney Snow in it. I had to go with it.
Sorry, you can go ahead, Kevin.
I'm just going to say, for a comedy, it was not funny.
Okay, I just want to finish. The scene when they go to her bedroom, like, who goes to the ex-girlfriend's bedroom?
So creepy.
I'm like, what the hell? Who wrote this garbage? And you could totally tell that the film was wrapping up at the end when the airport, when he gets back to the ex-girlfriend, I'm like, okay, we're done. Like, that was telegraphed halfway through the film that he'd rather be with Britney Snow.
Yeah.
Like, there was no surprising in this film. So Doug's telling me to give Sam Richardson another try. I will.
Veep. TV show Veep. That's where I saw him and he was great.
Okay. So maybe it's just bad writing. See, I don't know this man, so I'm only basing on what I see here. I mean, Britney Snow was boring, which really upsets me because I usually find, like I said, she does an okay job. Usually never great, but enough that I'm happy with her.
Comedy writing is bad.
Kevin?
Yeah, you have to forgive me. I don't know who Britney Snow is even.
She's
Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect.
From my John Tuckabus Ty.
See, those are all movies I have not seen and I don't care about seeing. There you go. Whatever. So maybe I'll have to watch it then if you want to review it for show. But
you are next episode.
Oh, wonderful! Great, I guess.
Yeah, I get to rewatch it.
This was not a fun. It was advertised as a fun movie with something, and it turns into a serious movie about relationships and dying and cancer and
boring.
And it was not enjoyable.
Made Song of Names look exciting.
Okay, I like this
was much more exciting.
I like this more than Song of Names. I think I went to school for journalism. I think it just offends me on an ethical standpoint where she's writing about him without his knowledge about, like, their sexual adventures, his sex life, his testicular cancer. And then when it starts to try to paint him as the bad guy for when he confronts her about it, and she's like, you could have Googled me. That's on you. I was like, oh, I don't like that
at all.
And
who wouldn't have Googled her ahead of time? Like, come on, let's be honest.
That is fair. It's just bad writing, but still, it's like that's not an excuse.
Like, I'm sure. I mean, nothing against Doug. Before he came on the show, I'm sure he did a little Google search. You know, see what we're like.
See if we were serial killers or something.
Well, it's possible. I mean, I would do the same thing. Like, if I'm going to be on a show, I do some basic research just to see what they're about.
Get the sense of the podcast.
And there's no way this ex-girlfriend would have ever taken him back.
She was just there for filler.
Exactly.
He never needed to have a girlfriend. She was just pointless.
Our Netflix section.
Let's uncork it. Starring Mamadou Afi, Courtney B. Vance, Niecy Nash, and Matt McGorry.
What can I say about I tried really hard to get it. Kevin's going to kill me. He liked it. Go ahead, Kevin.
Is it not enough shiny objects? What's the problem with this movie?
I didn't find it interesting. I really don't care how you become a seven, whatever the wine guy is.
Sommelier.
I just didn't care. I didn't find the main actor interesting. I thought Courtney Vance's barbecue restaurant much more exciting than him. I just wanted to eat ribs after finishing this.
It's a nice wine.
A ribeye, though. He has a ribeye, like, four seats. Mm-hmm. I find that was kind of strange.
Okay. Well, all right, I'll give you a little backstory on this one. So Lewis is the owner of the barbecue place. He's a father. It's his family business. He inherited it from his father. And he has his son, Elijah, who he'd like to have take over the business from him. And he's actually looking at opening a second location that Elijah will run or be part of. But Elijah is more interested in becoming a sommelier, which is a person who's in his other job is he works at a wine store. So he would like to be a person that works at restaurants and picks wines, helps people select wines for their meals. So in order to do that, you have to study, you have to understand a lot of wines, you have to be able to taste the wine and know where it's from. You have to describe the taste of the wine and sell it, essentially. Not being a person that drinks wine, I have no idea of the benefits of this, but maybe you guys are wine drinkers. I don't know. Maybe you might. No, that's all shaking in. Doug, you're the only one. Are you a wine drinker?
No, my extent of wine is, that tastes good. But,
well, if you were out for dinner and you're having a salmon or something like that, the sommelier would come by and say, well, I recommend this wine to go with your fish. And then they give you a little bit to taste and you'd be like, yeah, it tastes like wine. All right, give me more.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
What kind of beer do you recommend for this? None? Get out. Go ahead.
But it's his passion. He wants to do this. He's very interested. He finds it more interesting than running a barbecue place. And it becomes a thing of a power struggle between father and son. So the father wants him to do the business. The son wants to do his own thing. He goes off on his own to learn. The mother is the only thing that keeps them united in some way. Jesus Christ, the cat's coming back.
The man he was a goner.
Yeah. So, but no, I don't know. I was intrigued. He goes to France for a while. While he's in France studying, the mother gets sick. And that brings him back. And for a while there, the son starts to see the father's point of view. And the father starts to see the son's point of view. So I thought that was a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
I like the character dynamics as well and, like, just the mutual understanding. I like the hip-hop music. I thought that was cool. Just the soundtrack. And I liked how they talked about wine and barbecue, and I don't really know much about either. I thought the father-son relationship was kind of interesting. I liked the mom and her and how she went in remission and then it came back. And I thought that was a good reason for him to come back, and the fact that his Harvard friend was paying half of his expenses in Paris and then he was called back because of his dad. I thought that was interesting. It wasn't like a great movie, but I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I loved like 75% of this movie. I thought it was really interesting, the fact that it was a young African American who was interested in becoming a sommelier, and we didn't just follow the Harvard character. I liked that dynamic. I liked the relationship between the father, the son, and the mother. I liked the girlfriend. I thought she was a very interesting character. But then the problem with that is, 3/4 of the way through the movie, she just disappears. Once he goes to France, she kind of drops out of the movie until she comes back at the end for one or two scenes. My big problem with the movie was the shift in tone. From the moment the mother's cancer comes back, all of a sudden this movie is a downer. And it never quite recovered from that shift in tone for me. But I was still very interested in these characters and their lives. I just didn't want it to be such a downer.
Two questions. When Courtney V. Vance is setting up the second restaurant, he goes, hey, you can do your wine thing right here.
Uh-huh.
Now, to me, that was his, okay, I should be doing this. I mean, at the end of the film, when he doesn't get his goal, he should have done that. You know what I mean? But no, he decides to try again. And you can see the second time he gets it. Like, I think they really present him as being not really comfortable, not really out there, you know what I mean? Not too getting it. But I find at the end of the film, he magically gets it. I'm like, no, I think he got it at the beginning. He had to work on it. But the film didn't want us to give us that ending. They wanted to bring it down, like Doug said, to a downer movie. Because I'd really rather see he got the badge and been working at Courtney B. Vance's restaurant doing his wine thing there. Not saying they could have adjusted the menu because it wouldn't be the straight rib place. I really never got that impression from Courtney B. Vance's setup. That he could have done his wine thing there with his accreditation and done what he wanted to do with the new place.
When I was watching it, I compared it to Rocky. Because Rocky doesn't win in the first movie.
Yeah.
He's got to come back in the second to win.
Well, I don't want a number uncorked too, so I'll take it that he wins.
Uncorked, more tannin.
More. The quest for the wine.
Back on.
So, I mean, the lead. I mean, I think he's one of my problems, though. I found Courtney B. Vance and the mom are excellent. The girlfriend's excellent. The leads, meh. I like the character, the Harvard characters better. But wasn't there a girl that went to France too that we don't really know anything about?
And she just answers with the nerdy Richie guy.
Yeah. She doesn't, I think. I mean, I get where they're going, but I think my whole thing is maybe they need to teach me more. Do you know what I mean? Or maybe that's all there is to it. Read a bunch of cards, taste a bunch of wine, and learn things. I mean, I don't really know what they want me to get from this film. I mean, I'm watching this going, can I just watch this on Discovery or YouTube doing what Somalia does?
Well, I think it was more about passions. It was more about the son wanting to follow his passion instead of following his father's passion.
I got that, but I didn't need a whole film on this. I got that early.
This out is
you're a genius. No.
Yes.
I'm winning. There's a nice scene where the father talks about that he was going to school to be a teacher at some point.
Yes.
And that, I thought that was a nice, that was a telling conversation. He's like, you were going to be a teacher? And the son's laughing at him. He's like, yeah, I was. Do you not think that teaching kids to read is an important thing? Like, what's your name? And I think the son started to understand the father a little bit better. That whole sequence where they're working together on the restaurant again, and the son is learning from the father, I thought that was much more interesting than maybe the first hour of the film. So, he was giving it a shot. But anyway, I thought it was a well done Netflix movie for what it was. It's not something that I would pay to go see in a movie theater, and it's not going to win any awards.
For sure.
But I thought it was an okay time waster.
You never know this year, yeah. Man. With no films coming out, it could be number four.
It's not like we don't have any time to waste these days, but.
Fair enough. Yeah. Is it time to open the vault, Dan?
Yes.
Hey, if it's on video, Blockbuster probably has it. I mean, we have over 10,000 videos.
Wow.
I'll watch these fast and have them back tomorrow, I promise. Relax. At Blockbuster, you can keep your videos for 3 evenings, so take home plenty. And use our 24-hour quick drop.
Do you have any children's videos?
Sure. Blockbuster's America's family video store. You know, we have more kids' videos than any place else. And more movies, more nights, more fun.
Blockbuster Video. Wow. What a difference.
And we're in video vault. Uh-oh. What's going on there? Uh-oh. Let's see what happened. I'll fix it for next time. Whoopsie.
What was that?
I'll play it after. It's this weird punk song called Aeroport, which probably nobody knows but me.
Okay.
But now I realize it goes, so I'll take everything off and make it its own folder. So, our video vault, we have one film.
Yes.
And our buddy's back from last time we did this.
I don't believe you. You're not telling the truth.
I'm not. That's correct. We have more than one film. No, we just have one.
We're lying.
I can't lie. It's been 24 hours. You told me my birthday's coming. This was the wish.
Sorry, Jim Carrey, Maura Tierney, Justin Cooper, Gary Elway, Jennifer Tilly, Anne Haney, and Amanda Donahue.
Sherry O'Terry.
Which character is that?
She plays the receptionist with the crazy hair.
That's Anne Haney.
That's Anne Haney?
Yeah, that's her actress name, I think.
Okay, I know Sherry O'Terry's in here somewhere.
I can look it up.
Okay, well, I will speak briefly because nobody else wants to usually start these things lately. I like this one. I thought it was funny. I laughed numerous times during it. I really found the story touching. It worked for me on many levels. I love More in Tyranny, so if you put More in Tyranny in the movie, I'm probably going to like it. Carrie Ewells, I thought, did well. I thought the setup worked. Yeah, was it? We knew the ending? Absolutely, we pretty much saw the ending. But that scene with the cop, and he goes, and he had to go through the whole spiel, made me laugh. I watched the end credits when they showed takeaways, like cuts, like, you know, flubs. I was dying. My kids were laughing. I'd give this a recommend.
By the way, sorry, Sherry O'Terry played the one with the crazy hair.
That's what I said. Like,
oh.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said the secretary.
His receptionist, when he first walks in the building. And he goes, do you like my hair? Of course I do.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of Aunt Haney. Okay.
No, that's his receptionist.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I think the jokes work. I think that plays into Jim Carrey's strength of overacting a lot, especially the courtroom scene. I love the twist. I thought the twist worked so well. And I just thought it was great.
I love this one. I've rewatched it so many times because it's like 84 minutes. So it's just one really good comedy under 90 minutes because the story works well. The setup is good. It showed... Oh, somewhere shirt. I was like, wait, what? No, yeah, the setup's good. Jim Carrey's great. I don't know if I actually cried laughing at this movie before, but when he's in the boardroom insulting everyone, when the other lawyer tries to get him fired, that was hilarious.
Oh, my God. Roast them all!
Yeah, and then he just gets out, and he's like, and then he faints.
That was hysterical.
I love this one. Yeah. Then when he's on the elevator and he's like, oh, everyone's nice because your boobs are huge. Mama.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I think Dave Bautista tried to do Dracula Destroyer like this character from Liar Liar. When he goes, do me next. I think he was watching way too much Liar Liar.
It's just an inspiration, right?
I think it is. Doug?
This is probably my favorite Jim Carrey film. Or I should say favorite Jim Carrey comedy. I do love Man in the Moon, but this movie, my youngest son watched it for the first time with me this past weekend. And I just love hearing his unbridled laughter at some of the stuff in this film. Like, just the whole, I'm kicking my ass. That whole scene, just uproarious laughter.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I feel like that's a, like, as far as bathroom scenes, like bathroom fights go, I feel like Liar Liar, Mission Impossible Fallout are at the top.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in agreement. This is, Jim Carrey had a number of hits in that time period that were just, one after another, great. I mean, I think we talked about Ace Ventura in the past, which hasn't aged that well. But I think this one has aged well because, I mean, it's universal. Everybody hates lawyers. He's like the worst lying lawyer that you could possibly have. And he has to tell the truth for 24 hours. I mean, Carrie has tried to repeat this a few times with things like Yes Man. And well, there's some other ones. The ones where you don't be God, Bruce Almighty,
which I've not seen.
Sort of one note things where he's in a situation he either has something has power over him or he has power over something else. Even the mask to a certain extent, sort of the same thing.
Love the mask.
Yeah. But no, I do. I love this. This is just such a great fun movie, and it's a great family film as well. So. There isn't as much raunchy humor as you might find in a movie these days. So I think there's still something you can show your 8 to 10 year old kids, and then they would get it.
Yeah. I agree. My 10 year old loved it. Mm-hmm. So, is anybody buy anything? Are we out of here? We finished with this crazy thing?
You bought John Tucker for a dollar.
I didn't. I bought John Tucker like a month ago, 2 months ago, before quarantine. So I didn't buy anything recently.
I'd buy that. bad for a dollar.
I actually did get one movie recently. I got a movie from the 30s written by Truman Capote and John Huston, directed by John Huston, called Beat the Devil. Nice. And the movie was fun, but the story behind the movie is even better.
Well, Truman Capote is involved. It's got to be some wacky story.
It started with, it's an adaptation of a book, and they fired the guy who actually wrote the novel and hired Capote to come to Italy and write while they were filming the movie.
Ooh.
And apparently immediately upon arriving, Humphrey Bogart challenged Truman Capote to an arm wrestling match. Capote kicked Bogart's ass. So two more times throughout the filming of the movie, Bogart wanted rematches. Capote won every single time, and the last rematch ended up in a full-bodied wrestling match between Truman Capote and Humphrey Bogart. And why there isn't a film about the making of this film, I have no idea.
Well, there might be now. Maybe nobody's ever heard of it until recently from you, Doug. I've never heard of the film.
I'm not reading that script.
I actually bought movies like a month ago that I haven't opened yet on Amazon, or like 3 months ago. I got Us, Overlord, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and Escape Room. I'm going back to my seat now.
Yeah, I noticed you were moving around. It was throwing me
off. Sorry.
So we done, guys? We're out of here? So if they make it?
Wait.
Oh.
I bought stuff.
Of course.
What did I buy? I bought Bring It On for $5. I bought Corvette Summer with Mark Hamill and Annie Potts. I bought a great documentary, which I recommend, called The Great Buster. It's about Buster Keaton.
Oh, that'd be good.
Directed and narrated by Peter Bogdanovich.
That'd be good.
Very interesting. For $20 today, I got the Star Trek collection. So Star Trek 1 to 10 for $20.
Never, on digital. No, not going back there.
So I watched Star Trek 3 this afternoon. I don't remember if I mentioned the last time. I did get The Gentleman.
Which, you did. Yes, you did.
We need to review that. And The Founder.
Yes.
Donald's movie.
And Silent Bob, the reboot.
Yeah, which did need to be rebooted.
No. Some things are better left. Not even like fine wine.
Yeah. If they make it.
We buy it.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Okay. And meeting for all. Okay. We're out of here. Okay. All right. It didn't give me shit.